Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas. And to kick off today's show, we're going to check in with our own Mitch Elbum as he gets ready to host his fourth annual and highly successful Eat Detroit event on June 18th. Then we'll head over to the Eastern Market. We'll learn more about Veg Fest with program manager Kim Corona. And then we'll say hello to Eric Larson, the CEO of the Downtown Detroit Partnership. He'll talk all about Small Business Month in Michigan. And finally, you'll meet Justin Jacobs. He's the owner and founder of Come Play Detroit. An interesting show about great things happening in and around the D coming up right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and to kick off today's show, we say hello to Mitch Elbum. Mitch is here to talk about Eat Detroit, a really great event benefiting his Say Detroit charity. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann.
So, Mitch, last year was my first time, and I cannot believe how fun this was. What a great night.
Yeah, it's a... I call it the ultimate foodie night in Detroit. The idea of it is pretty simple. We get all the best restaurants in Detroit to participate. And this year we have 27 of them, including the restaurants of the year for the last 4 or 5 years, along with all the kind of staple great restaurants that people know. And they close off either their whole restaurant or part of it for this event. And people buy a wristband. And the wristband enables them to go to any one or all of the 27 restaurants in the course of 4 hours to sample 3 dishes and 1 drink to their heart's content, and then move on to another restaurant and move on to another restaurant and do the same. So if you want to experience all the best restaurants in Detroit in a single night, Eat Detroit is the night you do it.
So this is the fourth edition of Eat Detroit. It's June 18th. Mitch, have you talked to people who have actually gone to all the different restaurants? I mean, I could only get to a few of them. I was full after two of them.
So every year there's a handful of people who claim that they got to all 27. I tried one year, you know, a concerted effort with taking the buses and going as quickly as I could, and I got to about 13. And so, and that was trying really hard because, you know, you don't want to just race in, touch the floor and run out. You want to experience the food and taste it and eat it and swallow it and drink the drink. So, but you know, if someone's really ambitious, they could get to more than half, if not 2/3. And most people sort of know which ones they want to go to before they come down. And they're often the ones that are the hardest to get into, like Mad Nice has become that kind of a place now. It's really hard to get into, but it's one of our restaurants. Or the restaurant of the year, Alpino, which was just named by the Free Press as the best restaurant of the year. I just happened to eat there last night, and it's like the parking lot was packed, and it was just a weeknight, and it's really hard to get in. But here you could just walk in and taste the food and see what it's like and then kind of make a note in your brain about coming back. So it's a really good way to see the Detroit food scene and, of course, to help needy Detroiters at the same time.
Absolutely. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, I can't take credit for originating it. I was invited to Washington, D.C. About 5 years ago with Jose Andreas, who is the, you know, Nobel Peace Prize winning chef who runs, you know, his World Food Kitchen and goes to so many places where there's tragedies, earthquakes, hurricanes, things like that, and feeds people. But before he was saving the world, he was just a great chef and restaurateur. And in Washington, D.C., they have something called Dine and Dash, and he invited me to it. And it's a very similar concept, only they take people around in rickshaws around there for some reason. I don't know why. And they have, you know, it's a little bit more formal and a little bit dressier and a little bit more Washington, D.C.-ish. But I said, well, wait, I mean, this is a pretty simple idea. You have a bunch of restaurants and you go around from one to the other. And so I came back here, and we were always looking for events to raise money for Say Detroit that don't feel like just asking people for money for charity, because I recognize that there are so many good charities and so many good causes, and people can get tired of of charities asking them, can you help us? Look at how sad the situation is here. Look at how bad off these people are. You know, the kind of break your heart sort of way of getting money for charity. But I've always felt, well, there's other ways. You know, how about a positive experience, which is why we opened our food stores like the Detroit Water Ice Factory or the Brown Bag Popcorn. And all the money there goes to help needy Detroiters too. But people come in and they're buying desserts and popcorn and they have a great time. And this was the same kind of concept. Could we create something that was just fun and that people would have done it even if it was for profit? But instead of it being for profit, you give all the money away, and that's what we do.
Oh, it's just a great night. What an amazing idea. So let's talk about Say Detroit. Tell us a little bit about Say Detroit.
Well, I started Say Detroit in 2006 during the Super Bowl. You remember that was going on here, and I saw a story about a party, a Super Bowl party for the homeless, which I couldn't really understand what it was. And when I looked into it, it was really just a euphemism for gathering all the homeless off the street and getting them out of people's way so that, you know, the city would look better when people came in for the Super Bowl. And they were going to put them in this one big shelter, I guess let them watch the game on Sunday night, and then Monday morning kick them back out into the snow. And I just thought that that was really cruel. You don't give people help for your purposes. You know, you give people help because they need it. So I went down to spend a night at a homeless shelter and write a story about what it was like and sort of tell people you don't take this away from people. And while I was in line, there was a guy in front of me who looked at me, turned around and looked me over. And I guess I must not dress very well. And I was in line for the meal and he said, "Aren't you Mitch Albom?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he looked me over again. He said, "So what happened to you?" And, you know, I kind of laughed like you are at first. And then I realized he was dead serious, you know, like, right, there but for the grace of God go I, right? And I'm sure he never figured to be on that line either. And so I was very moved by that moment. And I included it in the story I wrote. And it must have affected people, however I wrote it, because instead of raising $60,000, which is what we were trying to raise to keep the homeless in those shelters until April when the weather warmed up, we had $325,000 raised in about a week.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to do with it. So I created a charity called Say Detroit, which stands for Super All Year Detroit instead of Super One Weekend. And we started to create things. And, you know, I went on, it's like a big fact-finding stretch where I went around to all the different charities in Detroit and tried to see the kind of need that there was, particularly with regard to homeless and things like that, since that's how we began. And we ended up creating a program called Bright Beginnings, which we still have, which takes care of mothers who are homeless or in transitional housing who are trying to get jobs but have babies and have no place for the babies to be taken care of. And so they were showing up at job interviews with babies in their arms, and you don't tend to get the job that way. So we created a program that took care of them while they could go through their job training or transitional housing. That program still exists today. We created something called the State Detroit Family Health Clinic because there was a problem in the city with homeless children getting medical care. At the time, there was no Obamacare or anything. And so if parents would bring their children, if they were homeless, they would bring their children to a waiting room at a hospital, an emergency room, because that's how you get medical care. The hospitals would take their kids away because they have to ask where you live. And if you don't have a permanent home, they're obligated to call social services, and social services come and they would lose their children. Mm-hmm. So consequently, homeless children were not getting medical care in the city because the parents were afraid of losing them. So we created a clinic that took care of homeless children, the first one in the country, without any questions asked, and children were never taken away. And that organization now thrives. It takes care of women and men as well as children. It's called the Say Detroit Family Health Clinic. So we have about 9 different operations, Ann, wow, ranging from 5-day-olds all the way up to senior citizens. Our Say Play Center at Lipke Park is a huge success. It takes care of hundreds of kids every day after school, and not only recreational programs, but educational programs as well. We have our Working Homes, Working Families project, which refurbishes houses and gives them to working families who have been homeless. And if they take care of it and pay the taxes and utilities for 2 years, then we give them the deed to the home. So there's many organizations under Say Detroit, and it's blossomed into a multi-million dollar organization now, and we do events like Eat Detroit to help fund it, and along with our radiothon on WJR.
So, Mitch, as you take a look at this organization and all the work that's being done, what is the biggest challenge right now? What's the biggest need, and how can we help?
Well, I'd say it's a really good question. I'd say the biggest need is to keep people from getting tired and wearing out, because it seems that it's often the same people who are charitable right. who give, and yet there is a fatigue factor. It's like, boy, you know, every year I give, and why is the problem in Detroit not fixing itself? And the answer is that it is fixing itself in terms of the people that are being helped and the people who are getting new homes as a result of our Working Homes, Working Families project do begin to thrive and don't go back to homelessness. And the kids who are coming to our, say, Detroit Play Center at Lipke Park are getting educated on the stuff that they're not getting in school and are doing robotics programs and STEM programs and art programs and music programs. It's just that there is always new people right. and there's new young children who need the help, or there's new families that fall into homelessness, or that there's new immigrants who come into the city who need help. And so the biggest thing is just for people to believe that this has to be a constant in your life, that giving to charity isn't something I'll do in 2024, but you know, that's it, in 2025 and 2026, I'm out. Any more than you would say, well, I'm only going to pay my mortgage in 2024, but I'm not going to pay it in 25 or 26. There is a constant need to help those who are less privileged than us or less fortunate than us. And that's the thing I would say is the biggest thing we just have to always fight against. As long as we can keep that sense of mercy amongst people and sense of wanting to help, then they do the rest. They participate in Eat Detroit. They call in on our radiothon. You know, they sure. come and help yeah. out in our Time to Help program, a volunteer program that we do every month. It's just making sure that people don't get fatigued and say, oh, you know what, I'm tired of giving. I'm just going to take care of myself now.
Well, and you know the old saying, many hands make light work. I mean, this event, the Eat Detroit event, set for June 18th. Can you also tell us, Mitch, how do we get tickets for Eat Detroit?
Yes, they can get tickets at eatdetroit.info, eatdetroit.info. And let me give you a couple of quick details on this, because people might say, well, okay, if I do it, what restaurants? You probably just have one good restaurant. No, we don't. Here's the restaurants, all right?
Okay.
Adelina, Alpino, again, restaurant of the year. Bar Pigalle, which was once the restaurant of the year. The Brakeman, Folk, Hamilton's, La Feria, La Lanterna, Le Supreme, Layla, which was Restaurant of the Year a couple of years ago, Lumen, Mad Nice, which I think was Restaurant of the Year last year,
yes.
Mink, Ottava Via, Park, which is right there in that beautiful park area of Campus Martius, Pow Detroit, San Morello, which is the restaurant that is in the Shinola Hotel, Second Best, Sexy Steak, She-Wolf, that was a Restaurant of the Year, The Statler, The Townhouse Detroit, which was a Restaurant of the Year years ago, Baobab Fair, which was Restaurant of the Year, The Whitney, which needs no introduction, Brighton Company, Zuzu, and the Detroit Water Ice Factory for dessert. So there's 27 restaurants there. The tickets are $150. That gets you the wristband, which enables you to go into any of the restaurants, ride the buses, which go on a loop, which continually take you around to downtown and Corktown. We have the restaurants in both those places. But even if it's raining, you know, you've got buses that drop you literally right off, and you get a map, and it's like a treasure hunt. You know, you get a map and a wristband in 4 hours. It's like, go. And $150 gets you all that for general admission. A VIP ticket for $275 has a special pre-reception at the Shinola Hotel at San Morello, and then a post-reception, a dessert reception, at the Ghost Bar at the Whitney. So, and that's always really fun. There's music and dancing and all that kind of stuff. So you go to eatdetroit.info. It's June 18th from 5:30 to 9:30. And remember, June 18th is 3 days away from the longest day of the year, which means it'll
start
be sunny, you know, and light all night long. You'll be going driving home. It'll still be light outside. So it'll be a great night, and we hope we can get as many people to come. And I want to thank Huntington Bank and the Artichoke Garlic Foundation as our presenting sponsors.
Well, and it's a great night. It's extremely well organized, and I highly recommend that people check it out. It's just a lot of fun, Mitch.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I hope we see you again.
Absolutely. I'll be back again. Thank you for your time today.
Great. You're welcome, Ann. Thank you.
Coming up next, the 23rd annual Veg Fest is returning to Eastern Market. We'll learn more about it right after this. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit, and I'm Ann Thomas. Eastern Market is getting ready to host the 23rd annual Veg Fest. Kim Corona, the program manager, is here now to tell us all about it. Kim, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Ann. We really appreciate it.
So, Kim, tell us all about Veg Fest. 23 years. Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's grown more and more every year. And this year, we're expecting around 10,000 people. It's going to be at Easter Market on Sunday, June 2nd, and it launches the Easter Market's local artisan market as well. So between the Veg Fest and their market, we're going to have over 100 vendors, and it's a family-friendly event with delicious plant-based food, sustainable shopping, kids' activities, and live music. And this year, we're also going to have a great lineup of speakers and cooking demos throughout the day.
And, you know, everybody's talking these days, Kim, about eating veggies and the importance of eating your vegetables on a daily basis. So I understand why 10,000 people come to this event. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, we're just amazed at how much it has grown over the years. And exactly what you said, eating more plant-based and just being aware of eating healthier is becoming more and more popular. You know, it's really devastating that so many people suffer from chronic health issues, or they have family members that suffer from chronic health issues. And eating more plant-based can help to reduce our chances of having some certain health issues, certain things like heart disease, certain types of cancer, and type 2 diabetes. And so this event is trying to say, hey, let's have a fun festival where people can come and they can learn about you know, plant-based eating. And, you know, some people are eating plant-based because they're concerned about the way animals are treated on large-scale agriculture, sure, or about protecting the environment. And so we have a wide variety of plant-based foods at this festival, from comfort foods to healthy options. So it's you know, there's something for everybody.
So Unburger is the title sponsor. Tell us about Unburger.
Yeah, we're so grateful to them for being our title sponsor this year, and they're going to be serving up some great food, some burgers, and they make their burgers homemade. So they're not like processed burgers from somewhere else. They make them themselves, and they're a local restaurant. They're in Dearborn, and they've been a great, we've had a great relationship with them for many years, and we so appreciate them supporting us.
I bet the cooking demonstrations at Veg Fest are really popular, because it would be great to learn how to take your veggies and make them really tasty and fun for the whole family to eat, Kim Corona.
Yeah, it is so true. The cooking demos are very popular, because some people tell us, I'm really interested in eating more plant-based, but I'm not sure how to get started. Right. I'm not sure what to make. You know, it's very different for me. And so we have three amazing cooking demos, one by Kiwana Broden from The Kitchen by Cooking with Q, one from Chef Dunny from Vegan Baddies, and one from Chef Rhoda, who is also known as the Platinum Chef. So we have three amazing demos from three amazing chefs, And we definitely encourage people to come and see them and learn that plant-based eating is probably not as, cooking is probably not as hard as you thought it was. And in addition to those cooking demos, we have some amazing speakers for people want to learn a little bit more about plant-based eating and why people are so interested in it, whether it's for their health, for animals, or for the environment.
And what kind of fresh vegetables will we find at Eastern Market on June 2nd? I know they'll be starting to come out, just some of them right here in Michigan.
Yeah, and you know, there's, you know, we encourage people to go to your local farmers market throughout the year where you can get local fresh vegetables. And we have some vendors who are at Eastern Market on a regular basis who are going to be at our event. So there'll definitely be some fresh veggies out for you to get. And then there'll also be some prepared foods, just like you're saying, to show people how you can take those veggies and turn them into meals. And we have a wide variety of cuisines from Indian, Mediterranean, Italian, Nigerian, Cajun, Spanish, and more.
Oh, that's so interesting. Now, this is Eastern Market. It's June 2nd. Do we need tickets for this?
That's a great question. So it's a free event. There's no tickets. So everyone can just come on out anytime between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. And you can just walk right on in. And then all you have to do is pay for whichever food that you would like or whatever sustainable shopping that you want to do. And then I also just wanted to add, besides it being free and you not needing a ticket, if you come to any of our presentations or cooking demos, afterwards you will get a free giveaway for coming to one of those presentations.
Oh, that's incredible. Kim Corona, Program Manager for the 23rd Annual Veg Fest, Eastern Market, June 2nd. Thank you so much for the time today. It was great talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having us. And if anyone wants to learn more about the event, please go to vegmichigan.org.
That's vegmichigan.org. And coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, May is Small Business Month, a great time to start or grow a small business. We'll find out exactly how to do that in just a few minutes. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. Now, May is Small Business Month in Michigan, and Eric Larson, the CEO of the Downtown Detroit Partnership, is joining us now to talk about the importance of small businesses in Detroit and how DDP can help small businesses succeed. Welcome to the show, Eric. Nice to have you on.
And it's always good to be on with you. And I love the fact that we're talking small business, especially having leaned into so many small businesses around these larger events. So it's a good month to celebrate, you know, quite frankly, a very important backbone to our overall economy.
Well, Eric, how does the Downtown Detroit Partnership help small businesses around town?
The Downtown Detroit Partnership, you know, has really been focused on cultivating not only an inclusive, but also a very diverse, you know, community in within our core of our city, the downtown neighborhood. And small businesses is obviously one big part of that. And so we have a small business outreach program that is, you know, actively on the ground day in and day out, talking to the businesses, talking to them about what their needs are, thinking creatively about how we can drive additional recognition and traffic into those stores, but also making sure that through our public spaces, we're activating to increase the foot traffic downtown, especially coming out of the pandemic where the trends in office have changed some, but also using those public spaces to provide space for small businesses and vendors that wouldn't normally have an opportunity. They may be testing a concept or and don't yet have invested in a brick and mortar, and they want to show that, you know, that there's success around the product that they're serving. So many different ways that we work with the small business community. We also work with our partners at the City of Detroit and the Economic Growth Corporation to really think about how we're best leveraging the public resources to support what is a really unique part of our community.
So it's very impressive how you do this with regard to big events. What I've been noticing over the years, Eric, is how you are including, and you've alluded to this, how you are including small businesses in these big events, like the draft, like the Grand Prix. Talk a little bit about this inclusion. It's really important.
Yeah, it is. And that inclusion can, you know, happen with big footprint events like the draft and the Grand Prix, but it also can happen every day in just the activation and the way that we're being thoughtful and deliberate about including many of the businesses that are looking to participate in what is a pretty amazing time in Detroit. And so the Grand Prix the draft is a great example where the city spent a lot of time certifying businesses to make sure that they were ready. The NFL provided a lot of information around how they could engage. 60 local small businesses were engaged by the NFL within the direct NFL footprint and what they were producing around the draft. We then also engaged another 135 small businesses through Draft Day in the D, which was the activations in all of our public spaces outside of the draft footprint, as well as 90 food trucks to serve, the insatiable appetite of all of the fans that were coming into the city of Detroit. And the neat thing is, the majority of those businesses are not only minority owned, but they're also Detroit owned.
Yes.
And operated. And so it's a great way to make sure that the dollars that are being spent in the city stay in the city. You know, if a dollar is spent in the city on a local business, 70% of that stays within the local economy. If you shop online, it's the exact reverse effect.
And now you've got the Grand Prix coming up in just a few short weeks, and you do something similar with the Grand Prix too. That's awesome.
We do, and our partners, obviously the Grand Prix is an affiliate organization of the Downtown Detroit Partnership. We're thrilled to be able to support it. The Penske team leans really hard into this, as well as Chevy and Lear. And every one of us is focused on making sure that there's that same opportunity. So the Grand Prix does a small business straightaway, which is cute play on the racing theme, where there's a curated set of vendors, that two from each of the districts throughout the city. So every neighborhood is represented in the core of the downtown during that event. We then expand that, similar to what we did with the draft, with a number of other vendor outlets in our various public spaces that are activated around the draft. And then I think the thing that we're seeing is, and I don't know when the last time you tried to get a dinner reservation in downtown Detroit, but there is such demand. And we had 19 businesses open in advance of the draft. We're seeing the same kind of excitement and energy around the Grand Prix. When you drive hundreds of thousands of people in over a short period of time, it really does allow everyone to have a good day and recognize some real success.
And you mentioned, Eric Larson, that it's a great time to be doing business in Detroit. What kind of advice do you have for entrepreneurs out there who want to get started?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of resources. I think that's one of the most unique things about our community and the way that Detroit is evolving. It is becoming, and it always has been, obviously, a place of innovation. A lot of that was around large industry. Today, it really is about that small impact innovation. And we're building on that because that's ultimately what is going to grow our success and our economy in the city and in the state. And so things like the Economic Growth Corporation, the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, and Motor City Match, they have provided tens of millions of dollars to entrepreneurs who have an idea that are trying to think about how to get that started. We also cultivated here at the Downtown Detroit Partnership organization called the Build Institute. It now has spun off. It's its own nonprofit, and it is educating entrepreneurs on all the tools, all the resources, all the things you need to do to know in order to start your business in Detroit. So as a community, we've recognized that shopping local sort of hits on all three pillars of resiliency. It's the economic, it's the social, it's the environmental. Everything is benefited if we continue to support these entrepreneurs who have great vision but may need a little bit of guidance.
And the Downtown Detroit Partnership and you, Eric Larson, as the CEO, played a huge role in the draft. How are you doing? Have you recovered? Wasn't it incredible?
Well, Anne, we've talked a little bit, and I feel like I'm in the 10th step of my 12-step recovery from the draft, but it was great. It was absolutely amazing. We had very, very high expectations, and when I say we, you know, from you know, the governor to the mayor to all of us on the local host committee had very high expectations, and every one of those was exceeded. The level of excitement, the level of energy, the amount of our ability through, you know, your voice and others to tell a different story about Detroit. You know, all 50 states were represented in the people that came to the city of Detroit. 25% of those came from outside of the state. So it was a very unique time to not only break a lot of records, 775,000 people over 3 days, but it also is a very important time for us to make sure people recognize that Detroit is a place that you do want to come and do business, you want to live, you want to play. And all of that, I think, was captured in the draft, both, you know, locally as well as nationally and internationally.
Eric, we knew that it was going to be big. We talked about it for months, how big it was going to be, how important it was going to be for the city. But did you think it was going to be as big as it ended up being? 775,000 people? Wow.
I really didn't. I mean, we knew that we were going to, you know, have a good showing. And we knew that Detroiters in particular will show up, but we didn't know. And it was the perfect storm. I mean, the amount of support and energy that the Lions brought to this, you know, really could not be replicated in any other community. The fact that we had six of the leagues within a four-hour drive also helped. Chicago had the number one pick, so they wanted to be here to make sure that saw who went first. So there were a lot of things that lined up in our favor.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, it was the way that our community came together. There wasn't a thing that came up that the NFL needed or would make the ultimate success better that the community didn't rally around, figure out, and then, you know, elevate. And that, I think, is really what's so remarkable about the Detroit DNA. We want everyone to succeed. We actually support those that are supporting us. And I think that was, you know, on stage in rare form during the 3 days of the draft.
And we know that there will be a lasting impact because we already know about the Living Legacy Project. But I think we may not yet realize the impact. I think it will develop over time. What do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right, Anne. I mean, you know, so on Thursday, hotel occupancy was 85% on Friday. It was 80% on Saturday. It was 78%. Those are industry record breaking, you know, occupancy numbers for our hospitality. The fact that we have people continuing to talk about their experience in Detroit, the positive experience that they had, the food scene that they found, the shopping opportunities that they discovered, all of that will continue to be passed on from individuals that experienced it here locally and in real time to those that, you know, are now friends and others. The amount of local and national media that this garnered, you know, will serve us for a long time to come. And I think the other thing that's really important, Ann, is we demonstrated that Detroit is a very different city than, one, it's, you know, sort of made up perception has been, and two, the lack of reality someone has when they haven't actually experienced it. We always say, get them here, we'll change their perspective. And we got a lot of people here, and I think a lot of perspectives were changed.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Eric Larson, CEO of the Downtown Detroit Partnership. It was great talking to you today. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. It's always an honor.
And you are listening to Opportunity Detroit. We'll be right back after these messages. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Mark Hollis, the host of JR Sunday, heard every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m., had an opportunity to check in with Justin Jacobs. He's the founder and CEO of Come Play Detroit. And Mark asked Justin just how this organization got started.
Well, in 2008, I had returned from living in Chicago, where I graduated DePaul University. And like so many young adults back then, Detroit didn't have a lot to offer in regards to an active social life. So selfishly, I wanted to do something about it. So I organized a basketball league for my friends. And then a girl in the community asked me to do something that her and her girlfriends could also participate in. So we added kickball, and I just continued to snowball. We had bowling and volleyball, and now we have over a dozen different offerings year round.
There's so many different verticals. I don't know if we have time to hit them all, but there are so many areas that you work in relative to team sports, youth sports, adult programming. Kind of give our listeners that elevator talk about what it is that Come Play Detroit is all about.
Sure. And I'll do my best to be brief about it. But Come Play Detroit is the city's largest provider of adult intramural sports leagues. So if you are really 18 and up, we have a wide range of opportunities to come and do weekly leagues and events. In addition to that, we expanded to do corporate events, companies looking to activate their workforces, whether it's a field day or sports tournament, a wide range of ways to develop team building. And then we were able to partner with Rocket Mortgage and Bedrock to begin doing some placemaking projects. So we manage staff and program formerly, and now it's returning the Rocket Mortgage Sports Zone, the basketball courts that originally were on Cadillac Square, and there was sand volleyball. And then post-COVID, it was the Monroe Midway basketball courts and the putt-putt courts, roller skating, and a wide range of activities there. And now we also are working with the Detroit Pistons Neighbors Program to provide free access to programming in parks all around the city. So beginning, this will be the fifth year, beginning June 17th, there'll be a free activities, free programs in 10 parks all across Detroit, free for the community to come out and participate. Unfortunately, sadly, the Monroe Midway, as it's been the last 3 years, is not returning, as Bedrock is beginning the Monroe Block construction. But we are going to be returning the Rocket Mortgage Sports Zone on Cadillac Square with basketball courts, pickleball courts, and again, a lot of free activities. Through the Gilbert Family Foundation support, we were able to bring in buses of youth to come down and participate at the Midway previously, and now at the Sports Zone to showcase downtown to them, make the city accessible to everyone.
One sport, Justin, that I wanted to hit on is pickleball. It's become so popular, whether you're a youth in your 60s, 70s, and beyond. How has that sport resonated with Come Play Detroit?
Well, we saw the expansion of it and the demand, and we jumped on it as quickly as we could. We now offer leagues Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday on Belle Isle. And then Fridays, we play a version of, we'll call it street pickle, where we put courts in front of Eastern Market Brewing Company. That starts this Friday, actually.
And I can speak from experience. The folks here love the corporate programming that you do. A lot of our Rocket team members are part of Come Play Detroit through corporate competition. If any of our listeners are out there with a company that want to create this kind of engagement with their team members, how would they go about doing that with you, Justin?
You can start by checking out comeplaydetroit.com. We have a corporate events link on our homepage, and through there they can let us know what they're looking for high level, and then we'll follow up with them, step a call, and really build an event that fits their goals and achieves their needs. We have definitely templated events like your kickball tournament, pickleball tournament, field days with stack races, tug of war, the wide range of activities. But we also want to engage them and see if they have ideas that they think works best for their employees. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're the providers of fun and play. And that's what you're looking for, we're here for you.
That's Mark Hollis, host of JR Sunday, heard here on WJR every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. And I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening to Opportunity Detroit, and enjoy the rest of your day.